Morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Pastor Winston is preaching in Markham. So thank you for praying for me. I just came back from a four-week trip in the Far East and down under, visiting six cities. So I still enjoy my jet lag for a while. So it's good to be here. Yesterday, about 70 church members gather with me for a annual ministry retreat here in the church, and we had a very good time. So all heard from the pastors outlining what's important, and we engaged everyone in the dialogue conversation about the mission of Christ, mission of Jesus, what he desires to do in his people, in the churches. And I think it was challenging to a lot of people. It was different. It was new. So I covered your prayer for the whole church that we're open to what God wants to, how God wants to lead us in the next milestone. And we just pray that the people will be embracing a change that may move us from our comfort zone and move out of our status quo, that we are not just a group of people meeting here Sunday just to enjoy our friendship, but truly have a fellowship to reach out to people in our schools, in our workplace, in our neighborhood that really need the Lord. And it needs everyone to really capture that call to look out to the harvest field and to make a difference in our life. So I just ask for your prayer. I think that's also the heartbeat of Pastor Vincent also. So this morning we'll study James chapter 3, 1 to 12, this passage. I'm preaching through James in the Chinese congregation. So just want to share with you this message, Taming the Tongue, okay? Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Hands-On Christianity, he mentioned a true quote taken from a tombstone from a cemetery in the state, Massachusetts, for a woman named Arabella Young. Okay, she died in 1771. And the tombstones, the quotes say, "Here lies a silent clay, Miss Arabella Young, who on the 21st of May began to hold her tongue." Okay, I don't know. It's very strange to have such a word on a tombstone, right? She began to hold her tongue. So it begged the question asking every one of us, how are we doing? How are you at holding your tongue? Are you able to do it now and will it do it well? Or will it take the grave to finally stop it from our control? I think we all experience, we said the wrong things and used the wrong words. And often our tongue gets us into trouble. And why does it do that? And why does it really matter? Now, the book of James is very practical. It's a very practical book about living faith, about true faith, about faith in Christ that really touch every part of our life. It's the walk and talk kind of Christianity. It tells us that our faith, if it does not impact our lives, our everyday behavior, then it's useless, it's pointless, it's dead, it's not real, it's still yet to be redeemed. So, because if your faith, my faith, is real, then you cannot help but to express it through our actions. And today we're going to talk about one large aspect of our life, of our behavior, that James exhorts us to really let our faith does the impact. It's on our words, on our mouth, on our tongue. So how does your faith, my faith, if it's real, should influence the things we say every day to people, to ourselves, and our minds, to the world. Because all of us know we love to talk. And there are talk shows on air everywhere. And we receive Twitter every minute. Everybody seems to have something to say. And the average people, some people count, has 30 conversations every day. And if you add it up, you and I spend almost one-fifth of our life talking. So if you tell me that I'm a very quiet person, I don't have anything to say, then it's really something interesting. So in the span of 1 year, your conversation, my conversation, somebody count, on average, can fill 66 books, okay? Every book, 800 pages. So if you're a man, if you're a guy, you speak every 20,000 words a day. I don't know how people count it, but there's somehow being circled around. But if you are a lady, if you are a girl, then you speak more, 30,000 words a day. So interestingly, when the husbands get home after work, he has used up all his 20,000 words. And then the wife is just about to use her 30,000 words. So some of us are born with a so-called foot in the mouth kind of syndrome. We have this natural tendency to say the wrong things at the wrong time. Our mouth often gets us into trouble. Even preachers, even pastors sometimes do. In the book of James, James talks about the tongue more than anybody else in the New Testament. Every chapter in the book, James says something about words, about managing our mouths, using our words. In chapter 1, verse 19, 26, these two verses, and chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 4, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 12, and especially in James chapter 3, he devoted a large portion of this chapter, led by the Holy Spirit, to talk about the need to manage our words, to guard our mouth, to discipline our tongue. James chapter 3, verse 2. Here, James exhorts us to say, yeah, please, release it, yeah. Okay. And here it says that in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. If anybody who is never at fault in what he says, he's perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless. James said if you can control your mouth, you're perfect. It's talking about being mature, being real, being healthy, being a mature disciple. The Greek word for perfection means maturity. So we are not yet that mature because we would know we often say the wrong things. We often use the wrong words. And James is saying that a spiritual, mature, healthy person is able to control his or her tongue. So it's one sign of spirituality. How you speak, how we speak, what we speak. Okay? And you may ask, why does it matter? Who cares what I say? They're only words. I'm only kidding. And why do I have to watch what I say? James says, words are very, very, very important. And he tells us why. This is the first thing he tells us. In verses 1 to 2, he said, we need to do that because our tongues, okay, have the power, okay, more, yeah, okay, one more, okay. Our tongues have the power to discredit, okay. Now the tongue may be small, okay, Just feel it inside your mouth. It's small compared to other organs in your body, but James said it has the power, tremendous power, to discredit us when used wrongly. Each of us is responsible for what we say, yet greater responsibility is placed upon those who teach. Okay. Not many of you, James says, should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So why did James warn his brothers and sisters about becoming teachers? We all know that a teacher is somewhat in the spotlight, in the limelight. So by some, words of a teacher are carefully scrutinized, harshly critiqued. By others, the word of teachers are taken for granted for truth. Therefore, a teacher can easily discredit himself and God by saying the wrong things and careless things and harmful things. This calls for responsible use of our tongue. Responsibility is not a word we hear much today, because our favorite words in our generation, in the millennial generation, are my privilege, my opportunity, my freedom, my rights. But we don't want to talk about responsibility. But somehow in the Word of God, God stressed very importantly about the value and on his mind, the importance of responsibility. James declared, every one of us is responsible for words we speak. Okay? Jesus sounded the same alarm. He said, but I tell you in Matthew 12, that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word. That means useless word, careless word they have spoken. I'm very frightened by today all this high-tech Twitter, cell phone, text, messages, everything. Somehow every word of this, all this conversation will leave a print on this world. On the judgment day, nobody can, tell God, oh, did I say that? There was record. So every careless word, empty word, meaningless word that men shall speak, as another translation said, they shall render account. So those of us who are teachers, Bible study leaders, who are in a position of exhorting or telling others what to do, what not to do, or open the Word of God, or in the classrooms, or in a position as parents, as big brothers or sisters, telling others what to do, as your peer friends, need to be very careful what you say. Because there are three things that we need to be careful to avoid, because those three things will discredit you and God. Untruthful words. Okay? We need to speak the truth. Not once, but all the time. Because the Bible says we have to walk before God in truth, love truth, rejoice in truth, meditate upon the truth, and speak to one another in truth. Because truth, according to the psalmist, is enables the child of God to stand in God's presence. Because in Psalm 15, verses 1 to 2, the psalmist says, who shall dwell on the holy mountain? He who walks in integrity, works righteousness, and speaks truth in the heart. So when we are not completely honest, we only speak half truth. We only speak white truth. We speak a lot of great truth. When we stress something to fit what we assume, to fit into our belief system, or to leave something out because we think that will not advance our point, or then we are not being truthful. Untruthful words would call a question mark about our faith, because it would discredit you and God. And the second thing we should be careful is unnecessary words. The word trivia, it comes from a Roman legend, because in Roman time, there was an inn, like a motel, they call the trivia. That means trivia inn. It means the inn was located at a spot when three roads came together. Okay. So a lot of Roman soldiers met at that inn to talk. All the talk, most of the talk, were small talks, meaningless talk, nothing, you know, just talk, you know. Okay. And from that legend, the word trivia means unimportant conversations. You know, there was a million viewers hit on a video clip I learned lately about a young man with a mustache holding his cat and looking at the camera and knock the head at the same time. So the movement just, you know, memories or just kind of hypnotize anyone that watched that clip. Some of you probably watched that clip. And a million people make that hit in YouTube. I was wondering, it blew my mind. I mean, what kind of meaningless act? Why so many people are captured by meaningless, unnecessary act? And I mean, people say, oh, just a laugh, just something interesting. But imagine a young person or even a grown adult watch all kind of this kind of video clips, okay? A couple hours or 4 to 5 hours a day. That is wasting of one's life, precious life, right? But today is like that. Are we discerning? Do we have a discerning mind and disciplined behavior? God is not just interested in us saying the right thing. He's interested in us saying the real things. So unnecessary words confuse people because it hides and disguises the truth. So much in the Word of God is so real and challenging. We never have enough time to really absorb them and meditate them. So and the third kind of words that we need to be careful to avoid is unkind words. Unkind words. Now, picture a family sitting around a table, the father and mother. The father invited his boss and the boss' wife for dinner. The mother and the father sitting, you know, at each end of the table, and the two children, aged 6 and 4, on the one side of the table. And on the other side, the boss, the dad's boss, and the boss' wife. Oh, as the boss pick up, you know, his fork, that 6-year-old child was surprised. I did not think you would use that knife and fork. Then that boss was very triggered, intrigued by the statement, asked, why? And she responded, my daddy says, you eat like a horse. Now, how often our unkind words come out of our dinner tables, you know, that come back to haunt us? Oftentimes like that. There's nothing worse than a teacher or one in a position to influence other or people look up or have the authority to open some kind of teaching manual or something or the Word of God that use unkind words to say things that that's a dumb question or you sure you don't know much about the Bible. That kind of words really would cause a scar in the student's mind. So three kinds of words that would discredit us and discredit God. Untruthful words, unnecessary words, unkind words. So if we are going to bring credit to God and to our integrity, we use the opposite. We use truthful words. We use necessary words. We use kind words. Okay. So James said we need to manage our speak. We need to control our tongue because it has power to discredit. And secondly, in the next couple of verses, he point out that our tongue have the power to direct our lives. Because tongue has a tremendous influence to controlling my life and your life. Where are your life heading, may I ask? Where are you going to be in 10 years from now? Look at your conversation. What do you like to talk about? What do you like to think about? What do you like to focus about? What do you want to talk about the most? What shape of words are shaping you? You say, I don't know. Ask your friends. Ask your parents. You know, just ask for your second opinion. They will tell you what kind of things you often talk about. And what you talk about the most is shaping your life. So James in verse 3, chapter 3, he said, when we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. You know, in this illustration, the tongue is small, he said, it's tiny, like a bit in the mouth of a horse. Imagine a big horse, a huge stallion, 2,000, 3,000 pounds, and then you have 95 pounds of jockey, those called jockey, right, those riders, on a horse. On his back, how does this little tiny size jockey control the tremendous, powerful horse with a tiny piece of bit, mental bit, put on the mouth of the horse? Okay. To the right, to the left, fast, slow, you know. So James is saying the same way. Your tongue controls the direction of your life. And then James adds another example in verses 4 to 5. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so big, they are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder underneath. Wherever the pilot wants the ship to go. Now, you know which is the biggest cruise ship now available? For holiday goers, it's called a lure of the sea. Probably some of you have taken that cruise ship. It's tremendous, huge mega ship. You know, it's just like a tall skyscraper laying sideways. It's just big. It weighs 225,000 tons. It can carry 6,500 passengers. Big, huge. You mean how many restaurants? It got restaurant and bars 50, swimming pool 15. Huge. The anchor, just by the anchor, the weight equals to 50 cars. Okay, but very small comparative in size, a rudder in the hands of the pilot, the captain, direct a huge, big ocean liner. Goes through waves, winds and sea. You see the power it can direct? James in the Bible said, our tongue is like that. Our tongue is like a rudder that steers our lives. It wills our lives. It's the guidance system. So use it well. Place it in the hand of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, James said, we need to manage our mouth. We need to guard our tongue because it has the power to destroy. So he gives another example in verses 5 to 6. Consider a big forest set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Imagine a beautiful forest, tall timber, trees everywhere. Now imagine it all goes up in smoke, completely destroyed by a little match, tiny match, or cigarette. You know, I was in Indonesia for a week in a city called Medan. When we step out of the plane, everywhere is smoke. Because not too far from the city, with the forest around, they were all on fire. And the smoke just filled up the whole air. For a week, we couldn't see the sun. We only see smoke. Gray sky, you know, it just caused everybody so depressed. And in Los Angeles, I learned in the news, one fire overnight destroyed 1,000 kilometers of land, villages, livestock, trees, all from a single match by a careless camper. So a careless camper can destroy an entire forest overnight. A careless word can destroy a life overnight. Gossip is like fire. it can quickly spread and cause destruction. I wonder how many people, because of gossip, careless words, you know, cyber bullying words, destroyed, their marriages was destroyed, or the career, or reputation of another person, of another friend, or their church, or even their pastor, or friendship, being destroyed by gossip. The tongue not only has the power to direct, to discredit, but also has the power to destroy. Have you ever met verbal arsonists? They said their words are always inflammatory. They can hurt, they can destroy. So James in verse 6, chapter 3 said, it sets the whole course of one's life on fire and itself set on fire by hell. It's a chain reaction in the whole life, he meant. The word said, your word can start a fire and it spread, you know, for good, or be watch out for bad. So I read about an article, very humorous, says a husband comes home from work. It has been a long day, so he's tired, he's grumpy, he's cranky. So the husband walks in and yells at the wife, "What happens?" The wife yells at the oldest kid. The oldest kid yells at the babysitter. The babysitter goes out and kicks the dog. The dog goes and bites the cat. The cat comes in and scratches the toddler. The toddler bites the heads off the Barbie doll. So wouldn't it be easier, simpler, if the husband, the father, just comes in and bite the head of the Barbie doll himself? So our words can set off a chain reaction and consequences. James said we got to learn to manage our mouth, because it can direct your life, it can destroy what you have, you can lose everything that you treasure. And then James gave another example about zoos, about animals. It was 7-8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. He's saying mankind, people can tame all kinds of animals, fish, reptiles, birds in the air, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil. Have you ever said something and then you wonder, why did I say that? You know, often the husband feels when he says something to the wives. You immediately regret what you said, but you just couldn't help yourself. James said, yeah, it's hard. It's out of our control. And then lastly, James exhorts us and reminds us that we need to manage our words, our tongue, because our tongues have the power to display, to reveal who I am. When you go to the doctor, and the first thing, when you tell a doctor, or your mom tell your doctor, oh, he's not well, she's not well, you know, the first thing the doctor will ask, you know, stick out your tongue, you know, to measure your temperature, to see your condition. Why? Because the tongue reveals what's going on inside of you. Not just physically, but from the word of God, it reveals who you are, what's inside of you spiritually. So we need to manage it, because it reveals our character. It tells what's really inside of us. Some people say, then I'd rather not speak. You know, then people also know your character by you're not speaking. Because verbal or non-verbal, we are communicating. James chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, it says, with the mouth we praise our Lord and Father, with we curse human beings. We have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We say these things out of the same mouth. We came to church on Sunday. The highest use of our mouth is to praise God, to worship God, to appreciate people, to thank God, to be grateful, right? We sing praises to God, then we walk out, then we go to our car, then we argue with our family, with our friends about where to have lunch. So isn't it amazing how quickly we change our attitude? 1 minute we say, praise the Lord, and then the next minute we say to each other, shut up! No. It's amazing. You know? So James is saying, cursing, praising cannot be come from the same origin, same source. Now, cursing doesn't necessarily just mean profanity. It means any kind of putting others down, you're good for nothing, things like that. So how is it possible? We can love the people. We say we love our children, our wives, our husband, family members, brothers and sisters, our pastors, our leaders. And next moment, we use harsh words, criticize, saying cold, cruel, harsh words to them. It's, just unseemly. So do you struggle with inconsistent tongue? James said we all have. So what are we going to do about it? It's a big problem. How are we going to manage our tongue? Seems the Word of God say nobody can do that. Okay. Please, release me. Yes, thank you. How do I control my tongue? Get a new heart. Because the Bible said we have to discover the problem, the source of the problem is from inside. It's our heart. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 31 said, rip yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Okay. It's pretty good advice. Get a new heart. Because if there's poison in a well, then no matter how pretty you paint outside of a water meter, water pump, it doesn't make any difference. The water is still poisonous. So I can change the outside. You can change the outside. I can say I start a new leaf, a new page, but if I still carry an old heart, it won't work. Psalm 51 said, create in me, David said, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, please give me a new heart. And then secondly, we should ask God for help every day, because it takes supernatural power to control our tongue. I cannot do it on our own. Our life is a living proof of that. So Psalm 141 verse 3, set a guard, O God, on my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. That's why God create and put our tongue inside a cage behind the teeth. God is so, so wise. He knows we need that. So, Lord, don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say the thing that I regret. We need to ask God for such helps to prove that God's Spirit in your life is when you experience that supernatural grace of helping you, controlling and managing your words, controlling your tongue. Fill our mind with the Word of God, the psalmist said, with the things of God. Think of those noble, honorable, God-pleasing thing and images. And when you feel all this in your mind, this is what will become out of your mouth. And thirdly, James, there's a good advice how to control our tongue and use our word is think before we speak. James 1 verse 19 said, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get anger. There's a reason. There's a logic. First, be quick to listen instead of giving in to immediate impulse to speak. Listen, and then it will slow you down to speak. And then you will think. When you slow down to speak, you will be able to get rid of control your temper, your anger. So if you have a problem with anger or temper, which a lot of people do, then what you need to do is being quick to listen and slow to speak. So what does it mean? It means 10 sentences you listen into your mind, just speak, utter 2 words, 3 words, or even half a sentence. That makes you very wise. And it's a very wise advice. So application. What does your tongue speak about you? What does it reveal about you? If you are to play back your MP3 or your whatever instrument that play music, of every conversation you had in the past week, what would you learn about yourself? What does it tell you that God heard? Our tongue displays who we are. It directs where we go. It can destroy everything we have. Okay. So maybe we need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe we need to go to our children, to our spouse, and to our friends to say, forgive me, please. I've said something unkind, unnecessary, untrue. And maybe you need to apologize to your coworker. You know, ask God to forgive you. So maybe you need to pray and ask God to give you the supernatural grace today. Let's pray. So brothers and sisters and friends, I encourage you to keep have this holy moment of silence, just to consider how to your prayer to the Lord. Maybe you need to say, God, I need that heart transplant. I need that new heart. I need a new spirit. Come into my life. Maybe you need to pray that prayer to God. Maybe you need to recommit yourself, recommit your life, brothers and sisters and friends, and ask God to say, and say, God, take control of my life. Take control of my direction. Pray like that. Pray like that. If you have been a verbal arsonist and said many inflammatory, hurtful things that hurt your family, your parents, your friends, your brothers and sisters, ask God for forgiveness. Maybe you need to pray to God and to ask for His help every day, to think before you speak, to experience that supernatural grace. So use this holy moment, a short moment, just to pray to the Lord, a simple prayer, but important prayer. Ask Him to give you a caring, a loving heart, not a cold heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your life and guide you in the direction that God wishes. If you pray like that, God heard you. God will meet your needs and come into life. Dear Heavenly Father, we all need this message. I pray that we all learn to manage our mouth. Help us, including your servant, because we cannot do it on our own. But by your Spirit in our lives, we can have victory. Lord, we know our tongue can damage, but also can bless. What a great potential you have given us. Help us to glorify you with our mouth, with our tongue, with our words, to bless people, to bring people into your kingdom, to bless all that you bring into our life. Help us to give light, to give warmth, not destruction, not hurts. Oh Lord, may our tongue from today on glorify you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.